rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network, rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network, rage in the cage. Better keep your hands up, take down full mount without giving heads up. Secure your limbs or you're gonna hear a snap. This ground and pound will lay you down for a nap. I sink it in and my advice is you should tap. I wouldn't be scared because I'm comfortable on my back. And if we're talking about jujitsu, I promise my rubber guard will get you with my overhand, you won't know what hit you. I promise that the fans aren't gonna miss you. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the cage on the MMA Madhouse Network.
Welcome, Kimber Schaefer here, host of Rage in the Cage Radio here on the MMA Madhouse Network. Big show in Oklahoma next week, another big week in the Oklahoma MMA community. Tonight we're talking Rage in the Cage 32, and guys, let me tell you, just moments ago, Dee Burchfield was planning to do this show, and he had to bow out, had a family emergency, so thankfully, our producer, Skippy Cohen, is here and able to fill in last minute. Skippy, you there?
Yes, ma'am. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Good. Man, guys, Dee's grandfather is in ill health, and I honestly don't know if that's what happened, because it was a very short conversation between me and his wife that he has a family emergency and is not able to fill in, but please, please keep Dee and his family in your prayer. I know Dee has been basically by his grandfather's bedside for days now, and so just keep them in your prayers. I'm not sure at the moment what's going on, but definitely could use your prayers.
Yeah, I'm honored to be able to fill in for Dee. I'm sad that I have to, but I'm looking forward to talking about a great event coming up October 17th.
Yes.
Farmers Market, Rage in the Cage 32 going down, and we're going to have a couple of the fighters tonight joining us.
We are. We always have an exciting show planned, but tonight I think it may be a little bit more fireworks than normally. We've got two guys that, let's just say there's a little bit of bad blood that's been brewing over the past year. I mean, I think that it was probably about a year ago that they had a matchup signed and ready to happen, and things happened and it didn't go down as planned. And so things have been brewing for a year now between Ricky Campela and Trey Penland. And so both of them are going to be on the show tonight with back-to-back interviews. So, of course, they're squaring off in the cage for Rage in the Cage 32 on October 17th. But first, of course, we get to hear what they both have to say pre-fight. So that's hopefully going to be pretty interesting.
Oh, that's always a good time when you get to talk to both fighters, especially when there's maybe a little bit of a aggression or excitement behind the fight between the two gentlemen themselves. And is this the main event, right? Correct?
This is the co-main event, yes. And then we also have Lamont Stafford in a title fight that night. So really just a great fight card. And actually, I just moments ago got an updated fight card, and I can, since we got a little bit of time, I can go ahead and go through that. We have, as amateurs, we have 170 fighting Frank Chandler versus Trent Wilkinson. That's a pro fight. Another pro fight, we've got Dustin Freeman at 135 versus Marcus Kincaid. This was a fight that was supposed to be on the card last month, but Marcus Kincaid was injured, had to get 10 stitches in his hand just a couple of days before the fight. Then, of course, we've got the Ricky Campela versus Trey Penland fight, Kevin Gooden versus Zach Davis. Kevin is his pro debut. We've seen him. He's just a powerhouse in the cage. We've seen his amateur career blossom. Finally, we get to see this pro debut. And then none other than Lamont KO Kid Stafford versus James Gray. This is a 205 title match. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're looking at 5 pro fights on this card. Austin Gunner is going to be back fighting at 145. We've got Sonny Law at 170. 185, John Hoffman is making his pro debut versus Cheyenne Deathridge, who Cheyenne is, we talked to him on the radio, I believe it was last week, and he's with the On Off Fight Club in Shawnee, Oklahoma. We've got 145, Aaron Spidey Webb versus Justin Clayton. 205, Carlos Yanez versus Josh DeLeon. 145, Ken Coulter versus Jose Martinez. This fight is going to be it's going to be way up there with the pro fights. I mean, these guys are two, I would say, the best, if not pretty close to the best 155ers in the state of Oklahoma. So, of course, Ken Coulter is unbeaten as of now. Jose Martinez just has one loss on his record, so just a powerful fight. Then we got 135, Kuta Kinte Ford versus Caleb Wheeler, and Caleb Wheeler is going to be on the show tonight. 145, Jermaine Nugent versus Vicente Tiano. I think Vicente is also at an Alma Fight Club. 155, Sean Blay versus Ryan Neese. 170, Christopher Priest versus Alex Dominici. Sorry, I'm saying that incorrect. And then looks like we've got Jeremy Morton back at 185, and I just found out this information, so I'm just reading this to you guys live. I just opened this email just moments ago, so you are finding out same time I am. So it looks like a really good fight card planned for tonight, for the 17th. So looking forward to it. Hope you guys are as well.
It looks like a great card. Definitely excited. You got some great, talented amateurs on this card, as well as some pros, not only beginning but seasoned, which, once again, that's something I like about what you guys do at Rage in the Cage as a brand and a product, is build your fighters to where they can make that transition into the pro ranks with you guys and get the tests to continue to grow. So that's great. You know, we've seen a lot of great young talent on your cards, and now we're starting to see some of those guys fight as pros.
Yeah, and not just pros. We've got some that started at Rage in the Cage as amateurs going off to Bellator, and just an exciting, you know, it's exciting to see them grow from that debut amateur fight to where they are, you know, making it big. I mean, this is what they've dreamed, of for years, and this is why they got in fighting in the first place. So, you know, we're happy to play what, you know, small part that we have in it here at Rage in the Cage. And, you know, we try to prepare them as much as we can as far as the interviews. And because, you know, when you get on Bellator and UFC and things like that, you've got to not only be in tip-top shape as far as your fighting, but you've also got to have good interview skills and things like that. So we try to offer the whole gamut, you know, just through the radio show, the pre-fight media TV interviews, the promo videos, and post-fight interviews in the cage, and then, of course, this radio program. And so thank you, Skippy. I think this is probably about our 12th show that we've had there on the MMA Madhouse Network. And tell us, Skippy, have you, and I'm putting you on the spot here, have you been able to find out kind of our numbers as far as how this show is doing?
Yeah, you guys have consistently, since you guys came to the network, been one or two. So, and weeks in a row, you've been number one. I'll be honest, the BS show out of Canada just came back after their summer break, and it's hugely popular. So it did bump you guys to number two last week. But other than that, you guys have consistently, I mean, you guys are beating my show's numbers, which I've been doing for almost 4 years. So that's a great thing, honestly. You guys are, I'm very impressed with the show you guys put together and all the young fighters that you've had on the show. And, you know, speaking of young fighters, I know last week we got to talk to Kuta Kinte, and tonight we're going to be kicking it off here in a couple minutes with Caleb, his opponent. I'm super excited to talk to Caleb after listening to you and Dee interview Kuta Kinte last week and hearing his mindset and what he's doing to prepare. I'm glad I'm going to get to actually interview with you, Caleb. And if you're ready, he's ready.
Oh, sounds great. Yes, I'm definitely ready for that. You are just multi-talented, able to talk with me here on the radio and get the next interview ready. So, yay, Caleb, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I want to know what the heck you're doing calling my fighter when I'm training him at 9 o'clock at night. Y'all been in a fight like 10 days. What's wrong with you people? God damn. How you call me?
I can tell.
That guy.
Is that Art Parker?
That is Art Parker.
Hey, Caleb, will you
tell
do
me
a... Hey, for the fans around the world listening tonight, a lot of them might not know who you are. So can you just tell us who you are, where you're fighting out of, what your record is?
My name is Caleb Wheeler. I am fighting out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. My record right now is actually 0-0. Kunta Kinte will be my first fight.
I like
debut
it.
Debut fighter. We always love to see a debut fighter on Rage in the Cage card because, you know what, we can say that you started your MMA career with us. So honored to have you on our card.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How are you feeling? I mean, I know you train with Art the Shark Parker. They're out of Weatherford. You're related. Isn't he your brother-in-law?
Yes, ma'am, he is.
Oh, my goodness. You're married to his sister.
Yes,
well, you know what? I have his sister is awesome, and we love Art the Shark Parker as well. But he just cracks me up. He really does. He's got such a great sense of humor. And so, tell me a little bit about how long you've been training. Did you just start training because of Art, and you marrying his sister, and you just kind of followed in his footsteps as far as MMA, or has this been something you've always wanted to do?
It's something I've always wanted to do. I've been training for about a year now. And, well, I've trained a little bit before I got with his sister. But but he really started pushing me and stuff whenever I got with her. I kind of couldn't get away from the guy. But it's something that's been a lifelong dream. I'm just fulfilling a dream.
Caleb,
well, awesome.
Caleb, you know, for somebody like myself, I'm out on the West Coast, so I'm really kind of getting to know a lot of the young up-and-coming fighters throughout Oklahoma because of Rage in the Cage. Can you give me a little background? What got you into athletics? Did you wrestle? Did you do football in high school, anything like that?
In high school, I wrestled, played basketball, all that stuff. I've always been a real competitive guy. Just have always been, had the athletic drive. Just always wanted to be the best at what I do.
So with MMA, obviously being another course for you to test yourself and to be competitive, have you found an aspect that you enjoy more? Do you like the striking, maybe the grappling?
Yeah, I like to whip people's asses. I like it all. I mean, I like punching, I like kicking, I like getting down on the ground and grappling. Whenever I get in trouble, grappling's kind of my go-to with being wrestling and all that. So, but I really like it all.
What are your ultimate goals as far as pursuing MMA?
I would like to eventually make it pro and just see how far I can make it, really.
Were you able to listen last week to the interview with Kunta Kinte?
No, I actually wasn't. Art was busy punching me and kicking me in the face.
Man, nice brother-in-law he is.
Yep.
So, do you know much about your opponent? I believe Kunta Kinte is maybe 0-2. So, other than that, is there much you know about him as far as his fighting style?
I've heard that he's mainly a striker. Other than that, I really don't know. I know he's got to be a tough son of a bitch because he used to ride bulls. And, but. And I've seen pictures. Looks like a pretty good-sized guy, but I ain't scared.
So tell me, are you winning this fight on Saturday? This is your debut. You know, and not to give away your game plan per se, but do you have a strategy going into this? I mean, coming out strong, what is your plan?
Just keep the pressure on, push hard, just win.
Sounds great.
I mean, that's
Caleb,
really all I can say.
You know, obviously, you know, this isn't your first competition, but this is your first MMA fight. And I know weight cutting is something that you've dealt with as a wrestler. So has that been easy for you to go back to that mentality of cutting weight and watching what you eat for a few days there?
No, I actually walk around right at 135, so
Oh, wow.
So I don't have to do the weight cut thing or anything like that.
Oh, so you're more you're more of a European style fighter where you fight what you walk. That's cool.
Yes, sir.
That's
makes
rare
it easier,
cool.
I think.
Well, it does. He'll be healthier. He will actually have less stress on his body because he's not draining himself. He'll have better fluid around his brain, so he'll have less of a chance to really get knocked out because he does have more fluid around there. So, I think it's smart. It's something that I see less and less in this game today, but that's great that right now as an amateur you're not worried about cutting weight. And I want to give you and your coach props because until it's time to go pro, there's no point in worrying about cutting weight. Now's the time for you to learn.
Yes, sir. And I think we've actually discussed it several times right now. I'm going to try to fight at 135, 145. Well, I'd like to stay in the 135 range, but if I have to move up to 145, that ain't no big deal. So we're kind of against cutting weight right now.
I like this. Art sounds like a very smart man.
Well, I think it's trial and error for him. Art, if you can ask him, I believe, he fought for quite a while at 185, and the weight cutting just got to be so tough on him, and it just took so much out of him. And, we had a couple of times where, of course, he couldn't make weight. And I think that after a while, that just kind of teaches a fighter that, hey, my body can't do this anymore, and I've got to move up in a weight class and, just be a stronger fighter. Up until the last minute, you don't have to worry, like Skippy was saying, you don't have to worry about just the stress on your body that weight cutting can really cause. So really kudos to you and Art for helping you make that decision.
Well, thank you. I couldn't ask for a better trainer. I mean, he pushes me, he don't kill me by no means, but I really could not ask for a better trainer.
No. Let me jump in one more time. I'm sorry, finish.
I really got to thank him for not making me cut weight, because that was something I was worried about, and having to cut too much weight and get tired and stuff like that. So I really got to thank him for not making me cut weight.
Look, I can't say it enough. I really appreciate his thinking on this, and it's something that we're very big opponents of, is cutting weight as an amateur until you're at maybe the last fight or two and you're going to test out your pro weight class. But with this being your first fight camp, getting ready for a fight, making your debut, have you found any stress on yourself, maybe, having to deal with this, or has this been something that you feel is flowing very smooth for you?
So far, I really can't say that I felt any stress. It went very, very smoothly. Like I said, I was a wrestler in high school, so my biggest stress at the first was getting to where I can stand up and all that good stuff. But I'm very comfortable with it now. I could feel comfortable standing up the whole fight. If I have to go to the ground, I don't need to. But I really feel like I got a pretty good game in doll now. So no stress at all. No more.
Now,
well, sounds great. Oh, you go ahead, Skippy.
I was going to ask, with this being your first fight, obviously you're taking on Kunta Kinte. Were you able to watch any of his two fights that he had, or did your coach break it down for you, or you just don't care?
I think we're actually going to start breaking it down this weekend and start studying and all that. But other than that, we've just been trying to keep my endurance up, keep my cardio good, keep my weight on and all that good stuff, because he has me running and stuff quite a bit like that, or quite a bit of stuff like that. And so really been trying to maintain the weight and really hadn't worried about it at this point. But I think we're going to start breaking it down and looking at videos and all that stuff this weekend and try to find me a sparring partner that's similar to his style.
Miss Skipper?
Well, I guess.
Yes. Yes, Skippy.
I was going to let you go. I'm sorry. He got quiet for a second, so I was going to let you jump in.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to ask you, Caleb, just a little bit more, because this is your debut fight. I don't know a lot about you, and of course, some of the fans don't know a lot about you. Tell us, do you have a family? Were you born and raised in Oklahoma? Those kind of things. Just tell me a little bit about yourself.
I was, I was born in Weatherford, Oklahoma. Lived here my whole life. I actually moved over to school in Hydro. Graduated from there. Yeah, I have a beautiful wife and an awesome 10-month-old son, and I'm expecting another child that should be here in April. Don't know if it's a boy or girl yet, but I'm very excited about that.
Awesome.
And yeah, I'm really fighting for them.
Wow, you got a baby and another baby on the way.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, so awesome to hear. So how are you managing having, you know, some young ones and also being able to train? And I'm not sure if you work full-time on top of that, but how do you manage all of that?
Yeah. Well, I actually work about 70 hours a week, and I usually get anywhere home anywhere from about 6 to 7 o'clock at night. I meet Art at 8 o'clock. We'll train from anywhere 2 to 3 hours. And a lot of times I bring them to the gym with me so they can watch, and I still get to spend time with my family and all that. It's been difficult, but I think we're all still happy, and I think I'm managing it pretty well.
Well, sounds good. It sounds like, you know, Art's sister, your wife, must be a very supportive person. To, you know, not only does she share you to a job that, you know, takes 70 hours of your time every week, but also allows you to put in that time at training at something that you really love. And, you know, sometimes we give so much kudos to the fighters, and as you're, you know, making your career and really making a name for yourself, but we forget about the people behind the scenes. And, you know, of course, me being a mom, I see that. And so really, what is her name?
Her name is Alex Jones.
Well,
I'm sorry, I feel used to saying her other last name.
Alice, is that what you said?
Alex.
Alex?
A-L-E-X, Alex.
Okay, Alex. Well, we just want to tell her thank you so much for, you know, giving you the time and the ability to go do, you know, what you want to do, and just give her kudos, because that's a strong mama to be home with those babies by herself all day while you're working, but then also at night while you go out and do what you love. So really appreciative.
She is an amazing woman.
It sounds like it, and it sounds like you're very appreciative of that.
Yes, I am.
Sounds great. And those of you that are listening on air live tonight, of course, just reminding you, Skippy Cohen and I are kind of winging this one tonight because my co-host, Dee Birchfield, just moments before we went live on air, had an emergency. And this is a show that he had planned tonight, and fighters that he had lined up for the show. So we are so winging it, and we appreciate you just hanging in there with us. And this is live radio, and this is what happens sometimes. And we're just appreciative of the fighters that are scheduled for us tonight, just hanging with us. And because I know a lot of you spoke to Dee and probably made the plans to be on air with Dee. But, hey, we're making it work, and so appreciative of you, Caleb, hanging with us as we're kind of making the transitions between Skippy and I hosting the show tonight. And special thanks to Skippy for jumping in literally last moment to co-host with me. So very appreciative of that.
And I thank you all guys for having me on there.
Thank you. And now, Caleb, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is my first interview, so next time hopefully my voice won't be so shaky and stuff.
Well, we totally didn't notice anything. You sound like you're a pro. And before we go, though, Caleb, we usually at the end of an interview give the fighter or the person that we're interviewing the floor and allow you time to give your shout-outs, say your thank yous to anybody that you're thankful for. I know that you've already mentioned your brother-in-law, Art, the Shark Parker, and then, of course, your wife, Alex, being thankful for them. But any other people out there that you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for my entire family. They've done nothing but support me. I want to say thank you to Kunta Kinte for fighting me. I really couldn't ask for... He's kind of, we added each other on Facebook and all that stuff, and he's liked my stuff, and he seems like an awesome man, and I want to give him props. I want to thank my Art's little brother, little 12-year-old that's been kicking my ass pretty good. He's a kickboxing mofo. And Well, I had to actually get permission from my boss to get into fighting and all that, because, you know, there's those possibilities that I could get hurt and all that, and he's okay with it. So I got to give my shout out to Bruce Burdick and his wife, and just the good Lord above.
Well, that sounds awesome. Now, one more question for you, because you just, you know, said something that brought it up to me. Now, Art's little brother, you said he's an awesome kickboxer. Has he been in the cage before? And if not, how come? How come he hasn't been
in
there?
No, he hasn't yet. He's too young.
Yeah, he's 12.
He's 12 years old.
12?
Oh, that's not too young. That's perfect.
Yeah, he's 12 years old, and he actually spars me and Art and several other people on a nightly basis, and he hurts us.
You know, you should tell Art, if the kid's that talented, we need to see him in the Siam Junior Muay Thai World Grand Prix, because it's for kids 8 through 16, and the winner gets a trip to Thailand for 2 weeks to train at Tiger Muay Thai. They do it every year, so it would be great to see a young man like that that's talented. Don't hide him. Share him with the world.
All right. Well, Art actually just told me, I got y'all on speakerphone and all that. And his little brother's eyes just lit up like no other, and Art asked me if y'all could email that information to him.
Yeah, I will get that over to you tonight.
I tell you, another person you might have him spar against and maybe, you know, train a little bit with is Dee Burchfield's son, Cole Burchfield. He is, I mean, that kid stands up to, you know, adults in their 20s and that have been fighting for years. I mean, I believe he's been training a little bit with Kunta Kinte and some of the other amateurs and even pros. I think he's trained a little bit with Lamont. So, you know, that might be a good little matchup to see in a gym some night. Between just those two.
Yeah, I think so.
So, well, lots of exciting things ahead for your entire family. Sounds like it's going to be a fighting family. And I know Art started really young. I think he had, you know, dozens of fights under his belt as an amateur by the time he was 18, 19 years old. So, sounds like his little brother's kind of following in his footsteps.
Yes, ma'am. Art was actually discussing that earlier. I think he said he had about 13, 14 fights as an amateur. Oh, that he said that's not including kickboxing or anything like that. But in MMA, about 19 years old, he had about 13, 14 fights under his belt. And,
I believe Art, and this is turning into the Parker interview, but I believe he was actually the welterweight champion in Oklahoma by the time he was 18. Is that correct, Art? Are you listening in?
Was he the welterweight champion by the time he was 18?
I was a welterweight, middleweight, and 205 champ by the time I turned 19.
I thought it was something like that. So, yeah, what a great fight family. Really excited to hear about your brother as well, Art, and just how he's coming up in the MMA world and the fighting world.
Well, hell, I mean, if someone's dating my little sister, first one excuse to punch him in the face, and then I want to make sure they can defend her, you know. Oh, talk, little brother? Oh, well, yeah, he's pretty tough, too. Now, he's been doing karate as long as I have. He's been my main sparring partner. Like, he was my main sparring partner before the Tim Pat fight. Like, he's one of those dudes. He's the most dynamic fighter ever seen, forget his age. He is the most mobile fighter ever seen, forget his age. He is a how tall are you now? 5'10", 140-pound 12-year-old. So, don't let his age fool you.
I was going to ask him, because you're fighting about 205 right now, so you've got about 60 pounds on him, and if he can stand toe-to-toe with you, that's some power.
He'll kick me five times before I know what's going on. Same thing with Caleb. That's why I have him sparring Caleb so much, because you're closer to weight. And on top of that, if I can make every fighter I train fight like my little brother, I'll be the most successful coach in the world.
Well, I'm excited to see him for real.
So, yeah, he's gonna be a beast beyond measure when he gets of age.
Wow. Well, definitely with you kind of beating on him every day of his life.
He might not be very pretty by the time he gets in the ring, but you know he'll be tough. He'll be all there.
Well, good deal. You know, let us know. I had no idea you had a younger brother that was up and coming and training in the world of MMA. So definitely keep us updated. And
Art, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Hey, I got a fan asking, can you give out the information about your gym?
Yes, my gym is located in Weatherford, Oklahoma. Right now, we have everything but a building. We have mats down. This sounds really backwater, but trust me, it's pretty high tech.
We have padding down in my garage. We do it every day. We got heavy bags, all the gear and everything. And I'm waiting on a building to open up in Weatherford. But yeah, just contact me on Facebook. It's either on Art School of Martial Arts on Facebook.com or just hit me up on Facebook, Arthur Shark Parker. Or I can put my phone number out, 580-309-0770. Hit me up. We're always looking for fresh meat, new sparring partners. I know Caleb's going through us like a mofo, you know. I mean, he's hungry. So we always need more people, for sure.
Sounds great. You know, we do get a lot of callers each week calling into the show. And last week, Dee and I got several people calling in from and friend requesting us from all over the country. So, and here in Oklahoma. So I think Skippy gets to field a lot of those calls for us as, you know, Dee and I are on air live. So kind of worked out great that
right.
Skippy was able to go ahead and get that phone call just now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because like we're looking to start up something big here. We're Oklahoma, especially Weatherford and Western Oklahoma has so much raw talent for fighters. I mean, we're all wrestlers, we're all hillbillies, like to punch each other. Might as well sharpen that tool a little bit and put us in the cage.
Do it legally.
And legally, without going to jail.
And by the way, the hillbilly heartthrob, huh?
Yeah, hillbilly heartthrob, baby. Hey, look,
I like it.
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, if I could change my name from Shark to Hillbilly Heartthrob, I think that's what I would do. Well, and then we got Caleb Caveman over here. We all got beards. Oh, to be a fighter in my gym, you have to have a beard, though. Just figure I'd throw that out there. Even the women. So, you know, here's the caveman. This is his thing, not mine.
That is hilarious.
You go ahead and you can take it,
yes, sir.
Ms. Kimber.
Oh, I was just going to say, we've actually filled some time, and it's almost time, if you're ready, Skippy, to head on over to the Ken Kerbo Ground and Pound, where he kind of gives us a little bit of positive reformation about our life and all the things that we're going through. So, Ken Kerbo, it's all yours now.
Hi, this is Pastor Ken. In each fight, you have a difficult round or rounds. And you have a choice on how you respond to each one of them. It goes back to training and learning your opponent's moves. If his favorite punch is a left jab, are you prepared to respond? What if your opponent would rather take the fight to the ground? Are you ready to respond? Every opponent has their strengths and their weaknesses, so you must train and study their previous fights to gain an advantage. You must have a fight plan, and you must understand the fight plan as well. In life's fight, we have a choice about how we will respond to the difficult rounds of the good fight. Either you can counterpunch with blame while becoming resentful and bitter, or you can fight through the storm and ask God between rounds, what is your purpose? Since understanding the fight plan helps build our faith, we have the right to ask why. Like a fighter learning new moves, we see that when X happens, God does Y, just as He promised. We might consider the fight training hard at times, but David in the Bible would disagree, because he wrote, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Some difficulties are meant to tap out all distractions so we can focus our attention on Christ. Other rounds knock out our worldly fighting style so that we can be conformed to the champion image of Jesus Christ. An easy fight is not our top priority, but winning the fight is our main goal. It's called a fight for a reason, so keep fighting.
Good stuff, Pastor. Oh, my goodness. Always good stuff. I love it, you know, because he kind of touched on, and he's so good at eloquently putting this, but some difficulties in life are actually there to help us grow, and God sometimes allows us to go through things because it does allow for growth in our life, and God knows that we're not going to get to the point that we need to get to if He just gives everything to us without having to work for it. So definitely great words of encouragement that, you know, sometimes we're going to have to take those blows and take those punches and take those kicks and, you know, run with it and know that there's a lesson at the other side. So great, great, great to hear from Pastor Ken every week. I'm so blessed that he's part of this program, and we get so much positive feedback from that. So awesome to have him on the program. Let me quickly also mention to everybody, those of you that do not know, we have one spot that I know for sure open for Rage in the Cage 32 right now, and we are needing a 205-pound amateur fighter versus Jacob Gaither, and his record is 2-0. So if you were interested in taking that spot on the card, you can message me, Kimber Schaefer, Media Director, on Facebook. You can go to our Facebook site, which is Rage in the Cage Oklahoma. Now, remember, there are multiple organizations, fight organizations called Rage in the Cage, so you want to look up Rage in the Cage Oklahoma. Also, you can message Massmaker Larry Strock. So, just something for all of you to keep in mind as far as what's coming up for Rage in the Cage 32. Also, we are going to, later tonight, as soon as this radio program is over, I'm going to go ahead and post the updated fight card that I just went through at the beginning of the show, just got that right before the show from Larry Strock. So great things ahead for Rage in the Cage 32, and one of those things is our main event, Trey Penland versus Ricky Campela, both of them slated to be on the program tonight, and I believe Trey is ready. How are you, Trey?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Awesome. So excited to have you on tonight.
Trey, well, for the fans around the world listening tonight, why don't you tell everybody who you are, where you fight out of, and what your record is?
Well, I fight out of Palestine, Texas. I'm 5-6 professionally, and just, you know, a hard-working dude, man, just trying to get it.
Sounds good. So, you know, have you fought in Oklahoma very much?
Yes, the majority of my fights have been in Oklahoma. I spent a lot of time training there, too. Got a lot of good friends there.
Okay, so you live in Texas, but, you, of course, you do train here, and you fought here quite a bit. So I have not been at one of your fights. I've just been with Rage in the Cage for just under a year now. So I don't know a lot about your fight style and things, but the one thing I do know is there is some serious bad blood between you and Ricky Campela, and this is not the first time that you've been scheduled to fight. The last time you were scheduled fell through, of course, and so tell us a little bit about what happened between the two of you, how you even got to know each other, and how it ended up to where it is now, where you guys just really need to duke it out in the cage at this point.
Well, it's been a long time in the making, so, you know, I'm just really ready to get in there and get after him. It's just been a real long time in the making. You know, you leave home and you go do training camps, and, it, you know, stuff costs money, and then to have a guy back out the night of a fight, you know, just leaves a real bad taste in your mouth, and it's been there for a while.
So has this
I'm ready to get after him.
Has this made this fight camp easier, maybe even more enjoyable, knowing that the reward at the end is beating on him?
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. I wouldn't say easier, but very entertaining. You know, I really kept a learner's mind state this time around and just been working the basics.
Now, you've had your fair share of fights. You understand what a camp is about, preparing, going into hostile environments. You've done it all so far. Did you do anything different with this camp because of the opponent, or was this camp the same as all your previous?
This camp's been the same as the last three. You know, I just take about 8 weeks to set out, and I set my work aside. I'm a bridge contractor, what I do for a living for the main part. But when it comes to training camp, I'm off traveling and training with the best guys I can find to train with. So I'm lean and mean right now, and I'm ready to go.
Now, you know, going up to Rage in the Cage 32 at the Farmers Market on the 17th of October, it's a great crowd. It can be a hostile environment for somebody who's not local. When you come into an event that where maybe you are the bad guy, the outsider, the guy coming into town, do you eat on that? Does that push you, or does it not bother you?
I mean,
how do you handle all that?
It's been that way my whole career. I mean, I've never fought on a local circuit here in Texas or anything, you know. So I'm used to stepping in people's backyard and fighting them there. And you know, I enjoy it. The pressure ain't on me.
Well, that's true, because sometimes it can be a lot of pressure on the person that is there in front of their hometown, and, you know, they don't want to see that loss in their hometown. So I can definitely understand what you're saying when you say the pressure is not on you. But, you know, a lot of that's in your mind, too, because I know that a lot of people would not have the mental strength that you do to go into that hostile environment. I mean, it really does take a strong mind, and we hear that over and over as far as MMA. But I think especially true when you're going into an environment that is going to be filled with fans, that is obviously cheering for your opposition.
That's right. You know, you just got to push that much harder. You know, I know Ricky, he's a tough guy, and I'm looking to come in there and upset him in front of his home crowd. So, you know, I'm mentally focused on that. I'm really, really prepared to do that.
Well, and I mean, I'm not sure. I think I'm correct here that I believe Ricky has his last six fights in the cage have been wins, and I think he's got maybe a couple more fights as far as pro fighting, a couple more than you do, but I believe he's coming off of a really winning streak here. So how do you think that you're going to be successful at taking that streak down?
Oh, I'm looking for a first-round finish. I'm looking to really push the pace early. I mean, I've seen the guy step on the scale, and I think physically he's nowhere where I'm at. I'm light years ahead of him physically, so it's going to be a real physical fight.
Are you more stand-up fighter, or are you more on the ground, or what are you more comfortable with, or you just feel like you're just all around?
You know, that's it. I'm MMA. That's where how I started training. I don't have a background other than mixed martial arts, so I feel comfortable wherever it goes. I feel comfortable.
So were you a wrestler in high school, or have you just always trained in several different fields of mixed martial arts?
No wrestling. No wrestling. I picked up my bags and hit a Greyhound bus and traveled up to Illinois and said I wanted to be a cage fighter when I was 22. That was 6 years ago. And I trained under Matt Hughes for a while and got all my amateur fights out of his gym and started my pro career out of his gym fighting stiff competition all over the world. So, I mean, I'm ready for this.
Tell me, this is something I've been a little bit curious about, and it's not really about you, maybe changing the subject a bit, but I hear a lot of fighters from Texas saying that they come to Oklahoma to fight. And, you know, me being a little bit new in the fight industry, just, you know, me, I've come from news. My background is more in news, and so I've been doing this for just under a year now. Why is it that so many fighters don't find the fights they need in Texas? Why do they come to Oklahoma?
There's just Oklahoma's a hotbed for fighting. You know, there's so many promotions there, really. The biggest thing is y'all have so many promotions and so many guys willing to fight. So, I mean, Oklahoma's fun state to fight in. The fans are great, too. I mean, they really support their fighters, and it's awesome to see that. You don't see a lot of that in Texas.
So interesting to find that because, of course, you know, Oklahoma being a smaller state, and, you know, it's just amazing how in Oklahoma, and it's not just MMA, it's in every sport. I mean, Oklahoma support our sports team, and with MMA being the fastest growing sport basically nationwide, we've definitely seen that growth in Oklahoma. And here at Rage in the Cage, we are one of the first, if not the first, MMA promotion in the state of Oklahoma. We've been around over 14 years, so we've definitely experienced and seen the growth of MMA over the past 14 years. But it's just so interesting for me to see and hear so many fighters that want to come to Oklahoma because of our MMA here and the promotions that we have available. And I think, you know, just from an kind of my viewpoint in the short time that I've been doing this, Oklahoma definitely has a lot to offer MMA fighters. But it's just interesting to hear it from a fighter's perspective as well.
Well, and he makes a good point. You know, Trey, you know, let's be honest, the state of Oklahoma is stacked with competition for fighters, especially, you know, a great promotion like Rage in the Cage. Down in Texas, you're talking amateur. The only ones in San Antonio really making waves, and that's PCG. And then you got Legacy for pros. Other than that, there's not a lot of opportunity right now in the state of Texas for athletes who want to compete in MMA. It's just it's building, but they're very behind. I mean, if you look at the gyms, the locations, they're not at all on the level of maybe Oklahoma or, you know, a Pennsylvania or a Portland, Oregon. You know, they're just catching up. And you mentioned traveling to train. Is that part of the reason you travel, is because you're finding better camps outside of your home base?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, I live in such a rural area. I mean, I'm out here in the backwoods in the middle of nowhere when I'm back home, you know. So I definitely have to train and go find that competition in the gym and somebody, you know, a good coach there pushing me. And I've been lucky. I found a lot of that in Oklahoma.
You live in the country in Texas. I got to ask you, being a boy from Texas myself, I'll just give a shout out. Hook 'em Horns, Red Rivalry shootout coming
up. That's right.
You know, hey, where do you find the best chicken fried steak where you live?
Man, I just had a little cheap meal today. Matter of fact, chicken fried steak, Runt's Barbecue. Out in the middle of nowhere, man. You'd never find it.
I don't know. Babes is pretty good. I've been to Babes up there in Texas, and, man, they've got a pretty good chicken fry going on there, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's hard to beat some chicken fried steak.
You're not joking. You know, Trey, we've only got a few more minutes left with you. So before we run out of time, I want you to take this time, man. Any shout-outs, any sponsors, any social media information, anybody you want to thank, please feel free. Take some time. It's all for you.
Okay, definitely, man. I want to give a shout-out to the Crazy Cowboy there. He's fighting this weekend, or this week, a matter of fact. I'll tell him to, with the shielder on it, go out there and get it. And I'd like to, you know, thank the company I work for, Tony Winkles Construction, for all their help and being there for me and knowing I got a job when I get home back off of camp, you know. And all my friends and family, you know, help support me on my way. So that'd be about it.
Well, and one last thing. Your opponent, Ricky Campela, will be on as soon as this interview ends. Is there anything that you want to say to Ricky before you get in the cage with him?
I'll just be ready to go this time, man. This is a career, you know. This is a career you chose. Be professional and let's fight.
Well, I think for sure Ricky is ready to fight, and he's got a fan base here in Oklahoma. So, you know, I'm just really looking forward to seeing both of you. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. You seem like a really genuinely nice guy. And so looking forward to that and, you know, just seeing your career go as well as all the fighters in Oklahoma, because we definitely love our Texas fighters as well, and we always have several fighters from Texas on our cards. So we appreciate you guys for coming to Oklahoma and making that trip down to Rage in the Cage, and looking forward to seeing you next week. I can't believe we're just a week away.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to meet y'all, and I want to thank y'all for having me on y'all's show and tell y'all God bless and y'all have a good night.
God bless. You have a great night, too. Thank you so much, Trey.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Now, to answer everything he just heard, we have Ricky Campela on the line. How are you, Ricky?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Good. Now, were you able to listen to the interview just now with Trey?
No, I just heard him say goodbye, which is about all I needed to hear from him.
Okay. Well,
I've heard enough on the internet. I don't need to hear it live.
Tell me a little bit, because I haven't seen a lot of the chatter on the internet as far as between you and him and the bad blood. And, you know, of course, you know, Ricky, I've just been doing this for about a year, so I don't really know the history beyond that. So has this been something?
It ain't been so much here lately, but it's just, you know, he seemed like a real genuine guy when I met him in Newkirk with Brian Foster, a mutual friend of ours, and he seemed real genuine, country boys kind of guy. And then I got sick, whether he wants to believe that or not, right before the fight. And, I mean, I'm not going to fake an $800 ambulance ride, a $2,200 hospital bill for dang sure. But then after that, he just got real disrespectful and wanted to go into well, we won't go into exactly what he said. I'll keep it as clean as I can on this show for you guys. And it just has run me the wrong way, and I just am going to be more than happy to put my hands on his chin next week.
So, of course, you know, as you said and he said, you were scheduled to fight. It was about a year ago, and you had a medical emergency and had to go to the ER.
February? Yes,
did you say?
February.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a medical emergency, and so that fight didn't get to happen because of that. So it's just kind of gone downhill as far as your relationship since then.
Yes.
So, and, you know, you've had a really good streak here pretty lately. You've had, I think, is it six wins, Ricky?
Five win streak. I've won eight of my last 10 with a 5-5 win streak, yes.
Wow, that is just awesome. I mean, I've seen, you know, just you in the past year, just how far you've come since the, I believe the first fight I saw was, I'm trying to think of his name. Is that of Norman? Jason Anderson?
Yes.
I believe that's the first fight
I wasn't
that I
too
saw.
Happy with my performance that night. I should have ended that fight a lot sooner than I did. Maybe if the ref wouldn't have pulled me off and resetted me so many times, I could have got it done a little better. My game has come three times farther since then. I'm at a new school, a new camp, new coach, and I couldn't ask for a better environment, a better MMA family. And everyone I train with, they're beasts. They're ready to go at a moment's notice. I've been ready to go at a moment's notice since the day I walked in that door. I just cannot wait to show it off again.
Let's go ahead, you know, since you mentioned AMA, tell me a little bit about the difference you've seen as far as since you've been at AMA and Kendrick Coleman and everything you've been able to learn there and adding to your fight game.
The structure and the leadership that goes on at AMA is just unmatchable in any other gym that I've been to. And that's not, I'm not taking a shot at any other gym like R1 or anything I've been to. I mean, those guys around there are great, awesome people, all got great top-notch guys. It's just, I need structure in my life when it comes to training, discipline. I need a coach pushing me, correcting me, keeping me level-headed and, you know, down to earth at the same time. And I mean, he's been like a father figure to me ever since I walked into that door. Everyone there took me under their wing and has treated me like a brother. And I should have been there years ago, and there's no telling how far my game could have gotten or how far my career could have been by now if I'd have just, you know, opened my eyes and went there years ago. I've always went there off and on for years, you know, here and there getting ready for a fight, you know, maybe once a week for a couple of weeks before a fight. But, I mean, just the cardio that I've developed there is unreal. The discipline, my drive, my desire for wanting to be better, wanting to get on that bigger stage, you know, UFC, Bellator, Legacy, anything. I'm just, you know, a few wins away, I feel like, and these guys are just taking me to a new level in my training, in my career.
I think so, and I definitely see it with you, Ricky. And, you know, I had the pleasure, of course, of going to AMA last month and doing the pre-fight interviews there. Same thing I noticed there. Just, I mean, a huge, huge crowd. And I've visited a lot of gyms. But, oh, my goodness, you had probably 30, 40 people or more in the class that I saw that evening. And, you know, everything that I hear about Kendrick Coleman, I heard the same thing from Kyle. Kendrick took Kyle Shafarudin under his wing when he was like maybe 17, 18 years old. So, awesome man. I mean, I've, you know,
yeah,
just in the past couple of months kind of learned about him. And, I mean, you know, I've learned something about being in the MMA world is it's such a tough world, and a lot of MMA fighters have had a really tough upbringing and tough background. So awesome when there's a coach like Kendrick to kind of, you know, be there to guide you guys and be that fatherly figure as you're, you know, growing in your own life and as you're going through a lot of struggles. And I know you yourself have had a very tough last probably 6 months with some things going on in your life. So,
Oh yeah. Great fighters got great coaches. That is for sure. And with all the things that have been going on in my personal life, he keeps me focused, and you know, he's there for you in any way, shape, or form. And you feel that when you walk into the gym, and it makes you put all the BS behind and focus on the task at hand. And that's getting better and getting that next win, no matter what it takes.
Well, so glad to hear that. Really, really happy to hear that you found somebody to support you in that way and be there for you.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Ricky,
yes.
I'm curious.
Awesome.
I'd like to touch on that. You know, you mentioned, you know, touch, you know, training occasionally with this gym, and now moving permanently to this new home, and feeling that mm-hmm. your game is getting faster, tighter, better. You know, we have a lot of amateurs that listen to this show around the world, and this is no disrespect to any gym out there, but you know, as a fighter grows, sometimes you outgrow the gym you're at. You just do. You become too complacent with your training partners. With this transition that you made to go full-time here, did you find at first it to be kind of tough compared to where you were coming from?
No, I just all the gyms that I went to were great, and I got better and better. It's just the structure wasn't there consistently, I would say. I mean, you need consistent structure. You need to know that when you go in there on any Monday of any week, your coach is going to be there, your training partners are going to be there, no matter what, no matter who has a fight coming up. Everybody sticks around, whether I'm fighting or I'm not fighting. I'm going to go to practice on Monday to get whoever I need to get ready, one of my teammates, for their fight. You know, there's no selfishness at this gym whatsoever. Everyone's there for each other. Everyone's there to better each other. And especially as an amateur fighter, when I started, there was no amateur careers. My first fight was pro, just threw me into the lion's den, and, you know, I've had to scratch and crawl my way to where I'm at now. But, you know, amateur fighters today, that is my biggest advice. Find a gym that you are comfortable at and you can make a home and stick with it. I mean, there's no problem in going out and branching out and you know, being a little gym rat sometimes. But, you know, when a coach can watch you from day one to day whatever, he knows what you need to work on. He knows you as a person, as a fighter, as an individual, as a, you know, everything, and that helps. It really does. When you know, fighters training fighters can only take you so far. You need a coach and a mentor and those kind of things to get far in this game. That's just how I feel. I mean, other people may feel different, but that's just what you need. That's what I need for sure.
No, it's great. I like your answer a lot, and I think that will really help some amateurs who are looking to follow your footsteps, you know, and become a pro fighter and you know, go to the bigger shows and make a name for themselves in a career. You know, we see it all the time. You know, you've probably come across it over there. I see it with gyms from coast to coast. You have some gyms that are like cross trainings, a no-no. You have other gyms that say doors are open, come and go as you want.
Yeah.
But it, you're right. It comes down to that feeling that you're not only learning and growing, but you have a place that can provide what you need physically,
yeah,
as well as a family, as well as a partnership and training. That's important stuff.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, you can go to one coach and tell you, you know, hey, man, you need to work on your jab and you need to do this. Well, the other coach is going to tell you that, you know, your jab's just fine, you need to work on this. And that's going to get you confused and you can't get complacent. And, you know, it's just, I found it rather difficult to, you know, try to listen to four or five different coaches from different gyms and different styles of fighting. And, you know, it's just, it can make for a sloppy fighter. And then, you know, that ain't going to cut it at this sport anymore. I mean, it's a young man's game. I just turned 30. And, I mean, there is every bit of, you know, there's kids out there 17 years old that give me around for my money right now. I can promise you that. And, you know, you got to get focused from day one. That's my big, you know, that's another advice for these young fighters. Get focused now. So you ain't got to do what I'm doing at age 30. You can already maybe have your dreams fulfilled or already set in a big stage or something like that. You know, I'm still trying to make it.
With this transition, obviously, you know, we touched at the beginning of the show. There's a little bit of aggression between you two guys, whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fine. But with this transition to this gym, do you feel like this camp, it has gone almost, you know, the way you wanted it to? Have you had any issues, or do you feel like this is the kind of camp you need to go out and perform?
Yes, my camp has gone great. And if anything, my coaches have been telling me to, you know, on a game night, man, I'm going to go out there and put all this animosity with this kid behind me, and I'm going to go out there, no matter who it is, it could not be him out on a fight night, and I'm going to go out there and do what I got to do to win this fight, no matter what. As angry as I already am with this kid for disrespecting me, it's not going to matter when I go out there, because my task at hand is to win this fight and perform the best I can perform no matter what. I'm not going to let that anger get involved. I'm not going to let that get in the way. I'm going to go out there and just take all the things that have been going on in my life, and I'm going to leave it all in the cage on Friday night. I can guarantee that. But it's not going to affect my performance because either way, I got a game plan. I'm going to execute it, and I'm going to do it fast, and I'm going to do it very, very fierce.
Ricky, you have a pretty large fan base in Oklahoma and, of course, at the events. I mean, you've got a cheering section. How does that kind of feed – does it feed you in a positive way? Does it make you go that much harder?
Yeah.
Or does it make you more nervous?
It fuels me. Not a little bit, because now I know – at first, I couldn't – there's so many women in my family I couldn't talk into them, like my aunts and my grandma and my mom and things like that. And now they're there, and that's probably the biggest thing about it is, you know, nobody wants to get beat up in front of their mama or their grandma,
yeah.
Nobody. So that kind of gets in my head. But when I got my guys that I grew up with that I've been – you know, I'm from a small town. I mean, I graduated with 67 people. When I got half my friends from my whole life in there watching me, rooting me on, that is – one of the greatest feelings that you could ever imagine. I mean, it's just like walking out of the tunnel for high school football. Again, you got your brothers there, and you're right. And I feel like we're all going to battle together. I'm there to win for them as much as I am for myself. I can promise you that. And it's an awesome feeling. And, you know, it's crazy how much that fuels me. I mean, when I come out for a fight walking down the aisle, I mean, I'm crying. I'm so excited. I got so many emotions running through my head and my body that, you know, and that's why. You know, when I went down to fight in Louisiana or wherever, it's not quite the same. I'm there, and I know that, you know, I'm in enemy territory, and I got to win, and I got to go handle business. But when you're at home and you got that comfort level, it's unmatched. It's a feeling that's unmatched.
I can certainly imagine, you know, I can certainly imagine that it would definitely be a good feeling at the end of the night. And I, you know, that's why I also ask you that question is I can also see the nerves as, you know, as you're going in and thinking, oh, my gosh, I've got to win this because this is my home crowd. This is people that love me, and I don't want to let them down. And so I can imagine there being a little bit of pressure. And you definitely have to have a strong mind, as we said so many times as far as MMA, going into that so that you don't let that get to you.
Oh, yeah. No, I think MMA is a huge part is mental. I mean, if you ain't got it in your head, you ain't not going to put it together out there on that mat. You got to be focused. You got to have a strong mental capacity. You can't go out there and just, you know, be an emotional wreck and not be able to control your emotions and focus them on one goal.
So true. So let's back up and let's talk about something else as far as your – I kind of know your fighting that you've done this past year, but over the career that you've had so far, you know, you basically started as a pro fighter. What do you consider your most successful fight that you've had and why?
You know, I don't know. These past few fights that I've won, I mean, the guys that, no offense to any of my opponents, but I mean, the guys that I've fought aren't just world beaters and, you know, they're not the most amazing opponents. But, you know, I got to do what I got to do and fight whoever they put in front of me. I don't get to pick my fighters, you know, or my opponents. But this last fight, I felt like, I forget his name, but, I mean, it was in front of, you know, in front of my hometown crowd where I grew up and graduated not, you know, 6 miles north of where I was. And for me to come out there with a guy that looked like he was 3 times my size and 4 times better shape and you know, and manhandle him the way I did and did everything technically sound and listened to every word that my coach told me and executed my game plan perfectly. I feel like that last fight was the most successful I've been in the cage and handled myself the best way that I've ever handled myself.
Yeah, I was thinking,
you know, when I fought
that...
Jason Anderson, I was a mess. I let my emotions get in the way. I fought angry, and it took me a lot longer to defeat him than it should have. I should have ended that fight in 30 seconds. Hands down, should have been over as fast as any of the rest of them were the past couple of times.
Yeah, and going back to that Jason Anderson fight, did he, you know, because I know that he trains out of his home, his garage. He doesn't really have a fight camp per se. So he was, you know, came out pretty strong that night. Do you think that kind of surprised you? Did you expect that, or you think it was just you were in your own head, like you said?
No, I think he was going to bring – we had ran our mouths to one another for 2 years. He would not let it go. And he – I knew no matter what, he was not going to quit, was not going to give up. And, you know, each time I thought I was squeezing hard enough or choking hard enough or hitting him hard enough, he was going to give up. And I'd get sloppy and he'd get, you know, back to the base or back to normal. But he gave everything he had that night. And I got – and I gained a new respect for him because he fought his heart out, you know. Regardless of what he does or how he trains or where he trains, he gave 110% that he had that night. And I think that's what made that fight. We had both ran our mouths enough to where we were not going to give up or you know, give anything less than 110%, and that's what we both did.
So now, looking back and everything that you and Jason went through, you said you have a respect for him. So do you guys keep in touch, or is it pretty much just we're done?
We don't keep in touch, but every time we see each other, you know, we just shake each other's hands, talk to each other. Hey, how you doing? How you been? You know, it's no more animosity, no more disrespect. And even right before that fight, I walked over to him and said, hey, man, we got to throw all this out the window. I mean, there's kids up there. There's, you know, all kinds of things. We don't need to be disrespectful and acting like white trash hooligans. Let's go up there and handle business like two professionals. And that's what I wanted to do with Marcus. I don't want to go out there and sit there and talk noise and act unprofessional in front of kids, in front of women or nothing like that. You know, we can bark our barks at weigh-ins and square off and, you know, whatever, keep it on the internet if he feels the need that he needs to. But, you know, the more he talked his noise, the more, you know, the more insecure I think he looks about his abilities. You know, I'm not going to talk noise. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to put these hands to work. That's all there is to it.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to that fight. I always look forward to seeing you in the cage. And, you know, like I said earlier, I feel like you've come a long way in the past year. I mean, you know, you looked good when I saw you in that very first fight against Jason, of course. But I think that you've you finished those fights even quicker every time. So
yeah,
I know you're looking for a first-round finish this time for sure.
Most definitely. I want to give my fans a show, but sorry to disappoint you. I'm coming out, and I want to end it as fast as I can.
Well, all right. So we always give the fighters the floor to, you know, give thanks to whoever you want to thank, you know, as we wrap up the interview. So right now it's all yours.
First, I want to thank God, man. He is, he's brought me a long way. But definitely yeah. AMA. And all my friends there, you know, Myron, DeMario, Brian, Schaap, definitely Dale, you know, and Coach Coleman. I mean, the most of all, he's shown me a whole new side of things with this sport, and he's just, I've gained a new respect for this sport, a new respect for training, and, you know, I want to thank all my friends and family, man. They stick behind me, and it's an awesome, awesome feeling. And I want to thank all the people that's been doing me wrong lately, because I promise you, they're the ones that's going to fuel this rage on Friday night, and it's going to show.
Sounds great. I tell you, Ricky, I am so blessed that you came on the show tonight, and so glad to have you on the
show.
Thank
you for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to hopefully having you at the pre-fight interviews tomorrow night if you're able to make it. And
yes, I will.
Sounds great. Well, we're looking forward to that, and, you know, just blessed to have you on the show, and look forward to seeing that fight next Friday night. So take care of yourself until then, and I will see you tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you all for having me. God bless you all, and I cannot wait to see all you guys Friday night.
Sounds great. God bless.
You too, sweetie.
Man, it sounds like I need to make a trip out to Oklahoma. All these guys tonight have got me excited. I mean, like, it's time for me to get off the West Coast and come back to, you know, my roots, man. Maybe I'll just tell my wife we'll go visit her family in Lawton and make a turn left.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Hey, you got to go through here to get to Lawton.
Oh,
that's
see,
right.
There we go.
That's right.
There we go.
It has been a few months since we've had a Madhouse representative at a Rage in the Cage event, so time is up.
It is.
Yeah.
I know... I talked to HR, and he's trying to figure out if he can make it, because he's, like myself, he's excited. It's and Ricky, especially for you, I mean, you know, the way you've presented the change in as a pro, it has me really excited to see this fight, because, you know, I feel like this is going to be kind of like a brawler coming in to face you, you know, as somebody who's, you know, just wanting to tear you apart and maybe not thinking about the long-term goal they're looking at as one fight. You're looking at it, I feel,
yeah,
as a long-term deal. This is one more step in your completion to get where you want to go. And I'm excited to see the difference of what this gym has done for you now that you've been able to spend time there and become adapted to the program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. You know, if he's wanting to come out and take my head off and brawl, then that's fine. I can weather any storm that he can ever stir up. I just hope he can keep it up for 15 minutes. I promise you, I can keep it up for 25.
I like
it. It's
going
to be 0 to 100 real, real quick.
Well, Ricky, I want to thank you. You know, like I said, I'm out here on the West Coast and never got to meet you, but you sound like a great guy, and I think this is going to be a great, great event. And I wish you the best of luck, brother.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm going to have to come out there to the West Coast. It's been a long time since I've been to California, back in my Navy days. I miss it.
Well, I tell you what, it's still hot and ugly, so.
Hey, man, it was 95 here today, and it was 65 last week, so it's a crazy place here, too.
Yeah, Oklahoma weather, you never know from day to day. I mean, gosh, you'll be bundled up, and it'd be 20 degrees outside, and the next day be in the 90s, so mass craziness here.
Well, Ricky, go enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you so much for taking time out for Rage in the Cage Radio.
I will, man. Thanks, y'all, for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. See you next Friday.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All
man,
right, guys. Well, you heard it.
Great show.
You heard it.
Great show.
Yeah. Great show. Thank you so much, Skippy, for filling in last moment. Those of you that haven't heard, Dee Birchfield had to skip out the last moment, and our producer, Skippy Cohen, was able to step in, and we just kind of winged this show, but we made it happen, and we made it to the end, and here we are. Basically, the last things we want to say as far as Rage in the Cage 32 is make sure you get your tickets. I mean, this is going to be fireworks in the cage kind of night. I mean, five pro fights, several other just power-packed amateur fights on the card. I mean, Ken Coulter, Jose Martinez. I mean, just a great night of fights. And so you're going to want to secure those tickets. And every fighter should have tickets in hand. And so you want to be sure and get tickets. You can also get tickets, of course, from TicketStorm.com. So be sure and secure those tickets as soon as you can. And another thing is go ahead and give us a like on Facebook at Rage in the Cage Oklahoma. Now, remember, there are more than one Rage in the Cage fight promotion, so make sure you type in that Rage in the Cage Oklahoma, because we've had several people say that they have sent us messages on Facebook, and I think that they're maybe sending another organization those messages. So you can friend request me, Kimber Schaefer, Media Director, as well. And, you know, just make sure that you do that so that you can be aware of all of the good things that are happening at Rage in the Cage. And, you know, any time that we have a fight, we start at least about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time kind of promoting that fight and putting out fight cards. And this will be just another way that you can find out what's happening at Rage in the Cage, and then also what's happening with just local fighters, because we try to promote other fighters that are going on to other things. Like, for example, J.C. Cottrell, he has fought for Rage in the Cage, but now he is getting his debut fight for Bellator. So definitely go to Rage in the Cage page so you can find out things like that. So thank you so much, guys, for joining us tonight, and thank you so much, Skippy Cohen, for co-hosting and taking over this role very last minute. I want to thank all the fighters that have been on tonight. We've learned so much about them, and this has been guys that I really haven't had the privilege to interview a whole lot before. Caleb Wheeler was on. He is a amateur fighter, Art Parker's brother-in-law. So great training camp that he's has there in Weatherford, and just you know, just a powerhouse of a team that's got put together there that he's training for this fight through them. And then we had Trey Penland on the show and Ricky Campela. They are going head-to-head, Rage in the Cage 32. So appreciate all you fighters for taking time out of your night and away from your training, of course, to be on the show.
Yeah, it definitely. Thank all the gentlemen that came on. I want to thank, obviously, you for hosting the show every week, and Dee as well. And I'm honored I could fill in for Dee, and you know, great show, great young men. You know, I enjoy talking to the fighters, whether I know them or don't. For me, it's always fun because I'm a fan first and foremost. I'm just a huge fan. I just was blessed to be able to buy a company and make it big, you know. So ultimately, I'm just a huge fan. So meeting these guys and getting to talk to them and letting the fans out there get to know these guys on more of a personal level, I think it's a beautiful thing, and I wish every fighter on this card good luck and safety. And you know, other than that, it's your show. I'll let you wrap it up. You know me, I'll just before we go to the final prayer, I'll just say, everybody, Saturday, October 11th, 9 a.m., live on ABC. Watch the Texas Longhorns hopefully beat Oklahoma. Gosh,
hey.
I hope so.
Now, I know for sure that Ricky Campela and I are both Sooner fans, like huge OU fans. Of course, I graduated from OU, so A. Now, you were supposed to co-host and keep the Longhorns out of it. Just kidding.
Hey, look,
give me a hard time.
My wife all week long has been wearing her OU and hat and going Boomer Sooner every time she sees me. So I've been getting it killed all week.
All right. Well, we'll take a little from you then, since you've had to deal with that all week. Let me remind all of you guys as well to, you know, if you want a booth at the show on October 17th, if you have an organization or a company where you want to be a sponsor of Rage in the Cage, look me up on Facebook, Kimber Schaefer Media Director, or message me on the Rage in the Cage Oklahoma website. We still have some sponsorship opportunities available. We still have some spots on the cage actually still available. So if you're interested in learning more about that, or having a banner or having a booth or a table at the event, make sure that you contact me on Facebook or on Twitter, of course. We have a Twitter account. I think it's RITC underscore OK. So contact me on social media, and we look forward to that. And thank you again, Skippy Cohen and the MMA Madhouse Network, for basically just taking Rage in the Cage under your wing and giving us this opportunity to allow our fighters to get their names out globally. I mean, we have friend requests weekly from people all across the world, and we know that people are listening all across the world. And so we're so thankful to you, MMA Madhouse. And on that note, let's head out with Ken Kerbo doing our prayer, and we appreciate you guys being here.
Our Most High God, as we come to you tonight, let each fighter look at their fight plan in life and make sure that they are prepared for the battle ahead. Let them see Christ's suffering as a benefit for each of our problems. I pray that each one will call upon you for strength and for guidance. I pray that this would be done in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage. Better keep your hands up. Take down full mount without giving heads up. Secure your limbs or you're gonna hear a snap. This ground and pound will lay you down for a nap. I sink it in and my advice is you should tap. I wouldn't be scared because I'm comfortable on my back. And if we're talking about jujitsu, I promise my rubber guard will get you. Get you with my overhand, you won't know what hit you. I promise that the fans aren't gonna miss you. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network.